Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of all the miracles that Jesus performed, the one I enjoy the most is Jesus walking on water. Scripture doesn't exactly tell us if the water had big, huge waves or not. I've kind of always pictured the water where Jesus stepped becoming calm so that it looked like our Savior was peaceably walking down a garden path. However he did it, he sure impressed the disciples. But do you realize that before Jesus walked on water, he walked into water? That's what happened when he waded into the Jordan River at the beginning of his ministry to be baptized by John. Jesus was 30 years old when he made his way to the Jordan River, where his cousin John was baptizing. John had been waiting for Jesus, for God had told John that he was going to reveal the Messiah to Israel through his baptism. You can imagine the excitement then when John finally spotted Jesus in the crowd. Here in the flesh was the one about whom John had been saying, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Imagine John's, we'll say confusion then, when Jesus asked to be baptized. What? What do you mean? How could John baptize Jesus when he had been telling everyone that he wasn't even worthy to stoop down and untie Jesus' sandal straps? Could John have been wrong about Jesus? No. Jesus assured John that while he didn't need to be baptized because he wasn't a sinner in need of forgiveness, but like everyone else getting baptized that day, it was the right thing to do, for it would fulfill all righteousness. But what does that mean? Baptism is God's gracious invitation to us to have our sins washed away. But Jesus, he didn't need his sins washed away because he didn't have any sins. So why did he insist on getting baptized? When Jesus stepped into the water of the Jordan River, it was a way of letting the world know that he was picking up the tab for all of our sins. The payment of that bill came due on Good Friday 3 years later. But we shouldn't think that Jesus' baptism was his way of getting his feet wet. No, that work begun when he was conceived with the Holy Spirit's help. The truth is revealed in what happened immediately after Jesus' baptism. Mark records that as Jesus was stepping out of the water, God the Father spoke from heaven, saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." When the Father said that he was well pleased with Jesus, it wasn't just because he was a chip off the old block. God the Father was pleased with Jesus because although he was already the sinless Son of God, he was also the sinless Son of Mary, as if to punctuate the truth. The heavens tore open, can you believe it? Tore open at Jesus' baptism for the Messiah's arrival. The wall that had separated a holy God from sinful people would be ripped up. Indeed, there was another violent tearing when at Jesus' death, the curtain shredded, shielding the Holy of Holies in the temple was shredded into two. Unseen hands must have done this, and there is now no barrier between God and us. The Father's voice, the tearing open of the heavens, it should have been enough to convince John and the others there, standing around, that Jesus was the God-man for the job of saving the world. But the Holy Spirit, too, put his mark of approval on Jesus at the baptism when he made an appearance, not as a flashing tongue of fire as he would on Pentecost, but arriving in the form of a gentle dove, drifting down and landing on Jesus. What an event. What an event Jesus' baptism was. But do you realize that your baptism was quite an event too? When water was poured over your head and God's name was pronounced, all of heaven broke loose as the Holy Spirit descended on you to create or to strengthen faith. And God the Father proclaimed, "This is my Son, whom I love." God can claim us sinners as his children because baptism really washes away sin. The forgiveness that we receive there is as real as the baptismal water dripping down the forehead, for that is God's promise. John the Baptist, well, he preached a baptism of repentance, not recklessness. That's why when the Sadducees and the Pharisees came out to be baptized by John, even though they weren't sorry for their sins and had no intention of giving them up, John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit," he says, "in keeping with repentance." If these religious leaders were truly sad about their sins and desired the forgiveness that God offered in baptism, they would have turned away from their wickedness. Since they had no intention of doing so, God's judgment remained on them. So it is whenever we excuse our backtalk to our parents or insist on our right to grumble about each other. When we act this way, we turn our backs on God's forgiveness and won't benefit from Jesus' death if we keep excusing away our sin. But that's why God brought you here this morning. He wanted you to listen to this message, because through it, the Holy Spirit is working to turn you away from those attitudes and to remind you of who you are through baptism. God's son, God's child, not Satan's child. Thank God for your baptism, the day in which all heaven broke loose and poured out on you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. unto life everlasting. Amen.